join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is What to Do with a Lump Sum by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
So watch this. So the goal is financial freedom. That's the goal. And every step that you, every debt that you eliminate is a step towards financial freedom. Every debt that you eliminate is a step towards financial freedom. Let me say a little more about financial freedom. Financial freedom is also the ability to make decisions without money influencing those decisions. To make decisions without money influencing those decisions. So there are people who in 2021, you're going to go on vacation. You already know you're going to go on vacation. You plan for vacation or you don't have a problem traveling. And there's some people who can't think about going on vacation. I don't have any excess money. If I go on vacation, I don't get paid. And if I don't get paid, then that's a week of non-productivity or something going to go under. So financial freedom is saying, I'm going to go on vacation because I want to go on vacation without money influencing that decision. Okay? I want to buy that book because I believe that book will bless my life. Without thinking, man, if I spend $10 on this book, it's going to take away from my utility bill. Are you following me? What I'm saying? So financial freedom is the ability to make decisions without money influencing those decisions. Now, time will always influence decisions. Do you have the time to do that, or is that what you should be spending your time doing? But God wants us ultimately to get to a place where we can make decisions without money being the first thought. How many of us recognize when the doors of the church are open as they would regularly be outside of a pandemic, that we should come to church? Okay, I'm going to church. But if you don't have money for gas, now coming to church is not just a spiritual decision. Coming to church is also a financial decision. Now, I ain't talking about faith right now. I'm just talking about the natural. We know we can believe God, but I'm talking about just naturally speaking right now. Man, if I go to church, I only got an eighth a tank of gas. It takes me an eighth a tank to get to the church. If I get there, I might not be able to get home. I only got a quarter tank. And, man, I'll get paid Wednesday, but a quarter tank is going to help me get to work. But if I go to church, I may not be able to get to work. Those are financial decisions. So now financial freedom is the ability to make those decisions without thinking about those things. And so the degree to which you have more income and more money and less debt is the more financial freedom that you have. Some of you realize right now, by me just giving that example, that you are freer financially than you thought. Because there are some people who can't go down the street without thinking about how much that's going to cost me. But you have the ability to be able to do those things, or go here or go there. We go to the family reunion. Some people show up at the family reunion simply because they want to go enjoy the family. Some people can never come because there's always an issue of finances. Okay? Let me tell you one more thing about financial freedom. Financial freedom is the ability to use the ops to exercise. I wrote it down wrong. Financial freedom is the ability to exercise the options that you choose. Because remember I said money gives you options. So the class, and some financial freedom gives you the ability to choose whether I want to pay, okay? If you know, the biggest one who does it is Delta. When you go to fly on Delta, they'll give you the basic economy price. And then when you get ready to pay for that, they say, would you like a better seat? Would you like a more comfortable seat? You can pay a little more for select comfort. Okay? Would you like a seat closer to the front of the plane, even if you're not in first class? Well, you can pay a little more for that. Okay? Do you have bags to check or not check? All those are options. And so the more money you have, the more you can exercise the option that you want. Now, some people don't care. Okay, and that's not a criticism one way or the other. Some people don't care about certain things. Some people like, listen, I don't care. You know, I mean, I happen to ride around in nice cars. So when I get in, when I travel to another city, and I've learned, you know, I used to rent cars, and sometimes I rent cars, but sometimes these cities, I'm like, I don't want to be aggravated with the traffic in this city, driving around this city, so I'll get an Uber now. Well, even an Uber, they got the basic Uber, then they got a middle Uber, then they got the black XLU Uber, whatever, and the higher you're willing to pay, the better Uber car you can get. One time I didn't know that. And I just chose Uber. I didn't realize what Uber. And I sat in the back with the car seat. In a little piece of car. I said, no, there is a difference between these Ubers. And the man said, sorry, I had to just pick up my child from daycare. And then I came on to pick you up. Well, I don't want to ride in the back of the car in a little coming on a Honda with a car seat. Okay, so now, so the more money I have, options. Are y'all with me here? So don't come telling me money don't matter. Money matters because it gives you options. Amen. And so the more financial freedom you have, the more options you can exercise to live life on your terms. Are y'all with me here? That's why God wants to give you wealth and riches. And that's why when he gives you abundance, you got to know how to manage it to put your life in a better situation set things up to be better as a result of you having this money than it were if you did not have this money. Praise God. So let's move on here. So I said, and you need to deal with your past, your present, and your future. Your past, your present, and your future. So let's start off with the first one about dealing with your past. Past refers to debts that you have made as a result of past purchases. You forgot about it. They didn't forget. Your credit report did not forget. GMAC, Ford Motor Credit, Mercedes-Benz Financial, whatever, whoever you financed, the credit union, they did not forget about that contract you signed in the past. Now, many of us are like me, you know, I was conscious, but I wasn't conscious. Okay, and I'm hearing all these students today. I'm listening to the program today, and people talking about how they got $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 student loan debt. And when Pastor Marshall and I, when we graduated from college together, well, it really accumulated that because we couldn't pay it. But together, it accumulated to about $30,000. Okay, and we talking a long time ago, back in the 80s. But it's not uncommon today for students, particularly if they have a master's degree, to have $100,000 of student loan debt. But it amazes me how many students, I keep hearing this thing, didn't know how much they had. Like after you graduated, but every semester usually, you sign a promissory note. Okay, they brought us into the bursar's office or the treasurer's office, and they sat down with us, and we signed a promissory note. Can I tell you what a promissory note is? The root word of promissory is promise. You promise to pay this back. You promise to pay it back. Now, as a matter of biblical principle, what you promise, you ought to do. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs that the wicked borrow and payeth not again. So that's wicked, to intentionally, deliberately not repay what you borrow. Okay, so operate from the premise that I need to pay my debts. Amen. Now, I heard someone say, well, they're going to cancel all the student loan debt. Until they cancel them, you should pay them if you were able to do that. Now, you can believe God to cancel them, but until you can pay them, you pay on them. All right? So the first thing, dealing with your past. Look at 2 Kings 4, chapter and verse 7. 2 Kings 4, we've heard this many times. The wife of the prophet, she come to Elisha. She said, now you know that your servant, who was my husband, he loved me and he was a good husband to me, but he also served you, man of God. And he was faithful to you for many years. He said, when he died, we had some debt. And because the husband was responsible for paying the debt. It's a new day now, right? The husband's responsible for paying the debt. He said, now the creditor is come. The creditor is come to take away my two sons. So if you couldn't pay your debt, they would take your children, and your children became indentured servants or indentured slaves until they paid it off. And he asked her two questions. He says, what do you want me to do about it? Then he said, what do you have in your house? So the first, he didn't even let her answer the first question. He said, what would that have me do? What do you have in your house? In other words, he asked the first question, but the Lord immediately gave him a plan. So he asked her, what do you have in your house? Because as I said Sunday, God wants to bless you by blessing you to magnify something you already have. What do you have in your house? What is in your house? What can you liquidate? What can you sell? What talent? What gifts? What ability? What is a work that you can do with your own hands? I know you're unemployed, but what can you sell? What can you do? What can be your gift? Oh, let me break this in, because I was talking to my staff yesterday about this. I don't know what this thing is today with everybody charging their church to do everything, but if you have a gift, an ability, it's nothing wrong with, that's another way you can sow, even to ministry and sow to your church or sow to help somebody else. Because what you sow, you can reap. And so many times, sometimes we're looking to get paid from everything. And I know I'm an older man now. I'm a middle-aged man. But when I came along, I wouldn't charge my church for anything. I couldn't think of charging my pastor. I'm not saying anything wrong with doing that, but I'm talking about me. But whenever I say things like this, Pastor Marcia, she would remind me. She said, if everybody did what you did, they would be where you are. If everybody did, she said, so you got to understand. So she knows what she's saying. That's why God's blessed you. And everybody ain't going to do that and have the same thing and have the same attitude. But can I tell you, you need to follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Okay. And then I understand a workman worthy is high and all that. But some people are always looking to capitalize and cash in off the church, off the pastor, off of anybody. And there's a time where God just may be speaking you to sow. To give, to bless, okay? He says, what do you have in your house? He tells him, I got the little nothing. First he says, I got nothing but just a little bit of oil. He tells her, go borrow vessels and just start pouring the oil. Start pouring the oil. He said, and watch, the oil didn't run out. The vessels ran out. So watch, this is a little passing point. She got blessed to the degree of her obedience. She got blessed to the degree of her obedience. What was the command he gave her? Go borrow vessels and borrow not a few. He said, don't get a little bit. Get as many as you can. So if she felt 10 was enough, she got blessed 10. If she felt 20 vessels was enough, she had enough oil to fill 20 vessels. Okay? So it was according to her and her faith. So she pours out the oil. And here's where I want to pick up. 2 Kings 4 and verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The Lord just showed me something here. sell the oil, that's work. Pay your debt, pay your bills. And number three, you need to have a life after your bills. Work, pay your bills, but live. That's the God plan. God wants you to be able to work, pay your bills, and live. Some of us, all we do is work. We still ain't paying the bills. Some of us, we work, and all we do is work to pay the bills, but we don't have a life. Then you got some people trying to live in a season that is not time for you to live that kind of life, and as a result of that, you're staying in debt. So that's the plan of God. Work, sell the oil, pay your debt, pay your bills, and live out the rest. Here's what I want you to see, a couple things. Number one, pay your debt. She had debt. He didn't say, listen, just take that money, girl. You and the kids go live. Don't be studying those creditors. He said, no, first thing you need to do, because you're in debt, in order to advance your life, you got to get out of debt. In order to put you, oh, this is so good. In order to stop putting your children at risk, because they were going to come and take her children away. In order to not put your children at risk, you got to pay your debt. Go sell the oil, pay your debt, live out off the rest. So you need to understand, one of the first things you need to do with a lump sum money is use it to advance your life by paying off or paying on debt. Paying off or paying on. It may not be prudent right now to pay it all off, because you got some other priorities and other things you may need to do. So you got to be wise in that. It may not be used to pay the whole thing off. But pay on it, or pay advance it in a way that it puts you in a better position that you can say, man, when I got this money, man, at least 25% went to get me out of debt. You know, 50% went to my current expenses, and man, I was able to take another 25% of that and save. Okay, for example. And I'm just using that example, and we'll talk more about that. Proverbs 22:7. So let's get God's right attitude about debt. Okay. Now, In the ideal, the best debt is no debt. The reason why I say that, because people always talk about good debt and bad debt, and I get that. Good debt is a student loan. Bad debt may be a car. Good debt because it advances your life, allows you to make more money, and it may have a very low interest rate, 1 or 2%. Okay, you get a car you don't need, that's just your dream, and you're paying $700 for a car payment, and that's not advancing your life, and you finance it wrong, you're paying it for 84 months, you're paying a high interest rate, you don't even know what you're paying, and that's not good debt. So I get that. So I get the, in terms of the quality or the how it was arranged and all that. But in the ideal, the best debt is no debt. So if you can live debt-free, that's a wonderful thing, okay? But that's, for a lot of us, that's not our reality now. That can be a goal, but that may not be your reality right now, okay? So he tells her, pay your debt, and then I want you to be able to live. So even after your debts, you need to be able to, God wants you to have enough to live, not just work to pay debts. So you got to move beyond this mentality, of always getting cars, and always keep refinancing your house over and over, and always getting a new car, and leasing a car, so you, because I'm always going to have a car payment. You got to renew your mind about that. Because as long as you're thinking like that, you're always going to be paying debt. But the goal is debt freedom. The goal is debt elimination. So the goal is to pay your debt and then be able to live for you and your children. Proverbs 22:7. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. Okay? So the bottom line here, God wants us on the right part of this equation. We don't have to like it. We can think it's not right. We can think it's not fair. But the scriptural truth is the scriptural truth, the rich rule. That's the real deal, y'all, the rich rule. We need people to feel compassion for the poor, but the poor don't rule. Rich rule. That's why God needs righteous rich people, so we can rule in a righteous way. We can rule in a just way, but the rich rule at the end of the day. Our former our outgoing president, our outgoing president, if he didn't have money, there's no way he would ever become president. He had money. And he had, he's financed his own campaign. Okay? So the rich rule. And the people who have access, meantime, to rich, is other rich people. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant of the lender. So God wants us on the right equation of both of this. God wants us to be the rich and not be the poor. And ideally, God wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. That's how he promised he would bless his people. In Deuteronomy 28, one of the blessings, he said, you'll be the lender and not the borrower. You shall lend unto many nations, but you shall not borrow. Okay? Now, it's not a sin to borrow, because if it was a sin to borrow, then it's a sin to lend and cause someone to borrow. But God wants us on the right part of this equation. So our goal should be to eliminate debt. So the first thing, deal with your past. Now, this is what the Lord spoke to me years ago. So, again, I got in debt when I was in college. I got credit cards, and at that time, Sears would give anybody a credit card. I don't know if they still do that. Sears gone now, right? Okay. Sears then became Discover and all that. But Sears, if anybody wanted a credit card, they say go to Sears. Just like Capital One will give you now a secured one or whatever. Everybody in the hood knew. Said, man, apply for a Sears card. Okay, so got my Sears card, thank God they stopped this. But some of y'all are too young to know this. But back on college campuses, back in the day, they were a haven for creditors. They would be on the campus. They've stopped that, haven't they? I have someone who works in higher education now, but they would set up, and they would, just like we would have people set up to interview you for jobs and on work placement days, they would have days just credit days. They have creditors lined up in the cafeteria, in the clubhouses, and what am I trying to say? The what's the common area on the conference? You know what I'm talking about. Social center and all that. You would go in there, and everybody got credit cards. And that's why so many young people got messed up when I came along with credit cards. That was on top of student loans. That was before student loans even kicked in. People had credit cards, and they would give them to you. So I messed myself up with credit cards. I had an Exxon card. I had an Amoco card. I had a Sunoco card. Some of y'all don't know, so these are gas station cards. I had American Express. Now I don't know how I ever got that American Express. I got that American Express, and you know, all the other ones tell you your credit limit. I got that American Express. This is before the blue card. Now the blue card American Express now gives you a limit. Okay. But then all American Express was unlimited. I got that limit. It said no spending limit. I said, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. No spending limit. Not today. I went shopping, y'all. I'm about, 18, 19, maybe 20 years old, I went shopping. And I tried to buy myself a girlfriend, too. See, young and dumb, as my mother-in-law said about me. Young and dumb. And so I messed myself up with credit cards. And then after I graduated, now student loans kicked in. And then got to the point, I ain't studying these cards. I ain't thinking about these cards. I'm moving forward. Then to get some word on top of your ignorance, sometimes can make you confessing stuff that you shouldn't be confessing. That's lack of wisdom. God ain't worried about my past. God concerned about my future. Don't that sound good? As a reason not to pay your bills. Those bills are under the blood. No, you got to pay those bills. It's under the blood and it's on your credit report. And it might be written in red on your credit report. Okay? Bad debt. And so there was a time in my life early on, and then we got to a place after we had children, I couldn't pay them. One time I wouldn't pay him, then got to a place where as we got married and had expenses and family, and all, I couldn't pay them. But I still had this attitude for a while that I'm going to, you know, I ain't worrying about the past, I'm worrying about the future, I'm moving forward. And then as I started studying about finances, I came across the scripture that said that the rich borrow and pay it not again. I mean, not the rich, that the wicked borrow and pay it not again. And I got convicted by that. And then I also came across the scripture that said that the rich ruleth over the poor and borrow the servant to the lender. And I knew I had to get out of that. Another place, instead of servant, says the slave of the lender. I had to get out of slavery. As African Americans, praise God, we thank God for Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil War and all that. We got out of physical slavery, many of us, but we are still in financial slavery. And God don't just want us to be free. He wants us to be free indeed in every area of our lives, which includes financial freedom. Okay? But then the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me, I can't bless you until you start chasing this debt. Look at Leviticus 26, 6 and 7. Leviticus 26, 6 and 7. It says, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. Verse 7. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Now, we know in the context, he's talking about physical enemies. The Hittites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, Moabites, Skeetabites, termites. Okay? He's talking about the enemy. Y'all put me back on the screen. He's talking about physically chasing their enemies.
There's a right way to handle your finances and a wrong way. For many, coming into financial gain only leads to more problems. In this informative series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us what to do when we come into a lump sum of money. You can order this series by calling 877-798-5433 or go online to www.rightdirection.info and visit our online bookstore. Ask for What to Do with a Lump Sum. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.